Hello, I'm Bruce Reynolds from Reynolds Communication. The following podcast is an initiative of the New South Wales Department of Primary Industries Dairy Group. I'm talking today with Bill Crosby, a dairy farmer from Connemara in South Australia, about the adoption of automatic milking systems on his dairy farm. So, Bill, firstly, how did you get involved in automated milking systems and dairy farming, given that you're an electrician by trade?
I finished my apprenticeship up in Adelaide doing construction work, and I wanted to come home onto the farm. But the farm wasn't big enough, so I started my own business to make a bit extra income. Then I put a bit more pressure on Dad to come home on the farm, so he said, oh, because the farm's not big enough, we'd better intensify. He also wanted to look at his retirement, which is going to happen in the next few years, so me buying him out as part of that. So he said, oh, what about dairying? Because we tried piggery up north and we've had cut flower farm up in New South Wales as well, where we used to live. And I thought, why not? So we had a bit of a go and we looked at rotaries and herringbones, and my uncle had just come back from Europe and said, oh, don't go past the robots. So there was a bloke called Max over at Traugan had robots in for a few years, so we went and had a look at his, and yeah, there was a man there that sort of started work at 7 in the morning and finished at 5 in the afternoon. We thought, oh, that's going to be the way to go, because we talked to the rotary farmers and they were all tired and buggered because they were up at 4 in the morning and up still milking cows at 8 o'clock at night and doing other jobs as well. And I said to Dad, I don't want to be sick of it in 10 years if I have to buy you out. Yeah, so we went down the robot path.
Given what you've just said, do you consider that it's a lot easier than conventional dairying?
Not that, yeah, we were dairy farmers before, so it's a little bit hard to compare the two systems, but being around other people that do manage other, you know, conventional farming systems, we're not trying to find staff to run the whole show. So basically, I'm still part-time electrician doing my own business. Dad still manages my uncle's farm. It sort of allows us to have that off-farm income when we get low milk prices and things don't go our way. So it means that we've hung in when other people have had to sell. So I suppose that's yeah, a huge part of it.
Well, looking at your dairy operation, and can you tell us a little bit about how you actually operate, what sort of farm you've got?
We can milk a maximum of 150 cows. We've got two Lely robots. It's a three-way grazing system. Even though it's a three-way grazing system, we have one trash paddock where we just feed hay, and that basically puts organic matter into our sand hills to get some more feed growing. We have a split calving. We just mate with the bull just because we don't really have the facilities for AI. Because we've got off-farm work, we're not around enough. If we want to do a sink program, we've got to be around more often, or if we want to catch them when they're on heat, we've got to be here and sort of AI it myself. And so the bulls have been the best way to do that. And we find we get pretty good strike rates with sort of probably anywhere from 80 to 90% in calf most of the time, so depending on the season. Basically, Dad and myself are here most of the time, unless one of us has to go off work, but it is a one-person operation, so we just take turns and taking the weekend off. Because it's a one-man operation, and we're able to do it and be a lot more flexible with what we do and how we do it.
Given your technical background, being an electrician by trade, what advantages do you think that gave you in setting up an automated milking system?
It helped in the fact that I was able to wire the whole dairy, building the whole lot from scratch. We actually built the shed and did the concreting and everything. So, you know, dropping off 50 grand worth of electrical work on the start-up cost is quite significant when you're trying to pay loans back. Also, just general knowledge as far as, you know, how valves and sensors and everything like that work. But, yeah, just having that general knowledge. But I'd say that for most people, you know, it's much like having a hay baler. You don't really know how knotters work or anything like that, but spending time with the machines and fixing them, you just get that knowledge, you know, even without being an electrician. Dad does have a lot of knowledge on how to fix and repair them. So if you've got a basic understanding of just basic mechanics, you can actually learn how to fix the robots.
In the 7 years that you've been involved with the AMS systems, what have been some of the biggest challenges in operating your automated milking system?
Everyone thinks it's getting the cows trained to go into the robots, but that only takes, you know, a couple of days. It might, you know, it might take a bit longer for a heifer, but a cow will get it pretty quickly. Probably the biggest challenge is getting the cows to flow out of the paddock, because it takes a long time to, well, one, us not being dairy farmers, so feed allocation for getting milk out of cows, we had to learn all that. But as far as, you know, you get the feed right, the cows are moving out of the paddock, you think everything's going fine, then the season changes, your feed quality changes, or you get too much feed, next thing you're overfeeding cows. It took us probably 3 years to get our head around the change in seasons and what we need to do to adapt to the change in season to keep the cow flow moving and keep production up at the same time. That's probably been the hardest challenge. It took us 8 months to get the cows to just move out of the paddocks. Kendra at the Sydney Uni, she helped a lot with that. But like, yeah, once you get a head around it, it's fine.
Were there many technical challenges with the system?
It's mainly air compressors, and we've got bad power supply here. We've only got single phase coming in, so that can vary a bit, which can upset the air compressor and the robots. So, but we're working through that at the moment, and it's not as bad as what it was when we first started. We talked to SA Power and they boosted the voltage for us and fixed a few of those issues.
What about the output, as in your production and your performance? What have you noted there, you know, in operating the system now for close to 7 years?
We're doing about 22 litres at the moment. We've got 120 milking with another 30 heifers and cows that are just in training, so they just walk into the robot and get grain. Yeah, so that's sort of pushing the system pretty well, but they're still getting through on time. And as long as your cow flow is good, you can push your numbers. If you've got bad cow flow, you'll just get the dairy packed out all the time. You get cows missing milkings because they're not getting through to the next section. So cow flow is really important for getting the numbers through. If you don't have it, then you don't get it, because if they miss a milking, next thing they're taking longer in the box because they're dumping more milk at one hit. If they dump all the milk in little intervals, you can actually get them through a lot quicker.
So what do you think are the particular advantages of your two-box automated milking system?
I'd personally like to go to three boxes. Just gives us that little bit extra breathing room, I think. With two boxes, we actually push a little bit harder. But, I mean, compared to having the equivalent, you know, rotary, you know, it's just the time-saving cost and the labour-saving cost. So I guess that's the advantages over a rotary.
So when you say time-saving, what sort of labour units do you utilise in your milking operation?
You can basically run the whole show with one person. So it's just those odd days where, you know, you're carving out, or, you know, you need a bit of hand if you're sowing pastures or something like that. That's where your labour comes into it. But as far as the person in the milking shed, well, it's only sort of one person, but that's not even all day.
So there's a high perceived capital cost to use this intensive technology as a solution for milking. So do you see that the benefits are there for the large amount of capital outlay?
Oh, yeah, for sure. The savings in labour and the hassle of trying to employ someone, and the ability for me, even if I'm working by myself at the dairy, dad's gone on holiday, I can still get all my jobs done in the morning, well, most of them done in the morning. I can go off and do sort of 2 or 3 hours electrical work and then come back and finish off my jobs in the afternoon. So it just gives you that flexibility. Even with one person here, you can still duck off and do another job and come back.
You were talking about cow flow there earlier and the amount of milk production, and you mentioned that 30 litres would be your absolute maximum, but do you have to underfeed cows to actually make the traffic flow work with your automated system?
No, you don't. When we first started, we did underfeed cows to get them moving. Sometimes it is what you do to get them moving, because if you overfeed the cow in the paddock, she's not coming in, so then she's not getting a grain ration, which has minerals in it. She's not moving to the next section, which might have hay in it, so she's not getting any fibre. So she's actually just getting a gut full of protein and not producing milk anyway. So if we get cows that, you know, one day they've broken out, they've got a gut full of feed, or they're just not moving out of one paddock, I will actually shorten that feed up and be pretty hard on those cows for one day just to get them moving again, because if they don't move, they sort of starve themselves anyway because they're not getting their full grain ration, and then you get your other metabolic issues from that. So you're probably better to get your cows moving, even if that means shortening up the feed for a day and then getting through. We get a little bit of problem where everyone's that I talk to at the AMS thing has a bit of a problem of stalling cows. So you'll get all the cows run through in the morning, then you'll get this group of sort of 20 or so cows just stand up at the dairy and wait for the gate to change, even if it's 1 or 2 hours away. Now, what the problem with that is there's not enough feed in the section they're supposed to go to. So the previous day, they went through the dairy, went out to that section, there was not enough feed in that paddock. So the next day they go, well, I don't want to go out in that paddock because when I got out there last time, there was nothing there. So that then you've actually got to give them more feed in that section so there's something better for them to go to. If there's nothing better for them to go to, they won't go to it. So that was something we concentrate on too. You know, even if we've got to short up feed in the previous section to get them moving earlier, we'll make sure there's more feed in the next section so when they actually get out there, they've got something to eat, and keeps them motivated to keep going through and looking for more feed. So it's a balancing act between too much feed and not enough, but once you get it right, it's pretty good.
For someone that's contemplating an automated milking system, what would you recommend that they think about before they either progress down that path or consider installing a conventional system?
Well, they've just got to, I guess, look at their labour costs. You know, if they're hiring 4 people, well, they're definitely better off putting robots in. If they're hiring 1 person, well, it's probably not too bad because you're going to pay a little bit more interest on your loans. But for us to put in an equivalent size rotary here, it was only going to be $200,000 less, and we would have had to employ someone to come milk cows. So we figured, well, you know, with that saving, it's going to pay off in the coming years. The only downside, I suppose, is you do offset that cost of employment by a little bit, like an increase in cost of electricity. There's a little bit more of a maintenance cost because little valves are a little bit more expensive. But, I mean, if you keep your air compressor maintenance up and you do your maintenance on your robot, you actually have less things break. So that comes down to the owner that they have to do more maintenance. You become a bit more of a mechanic than a milker, if you know what I mean. So you may be looking at figures on your computer to see if the robot's working efficiently. You're looking for different noises in the robot to pick up on a potential fault that could easily be fixed before something absolutely breaks. Yeah, if I was putting in a brand new system, I'd be putting solar panels and wind turbines on to reduce that power cost. I just do it straight up, but they're probably the things. Is your labour cost will come down. It should come down more than the cost of the increase in electricity and maintenance.
Do you get many alarms and call-outs in the middle of the night because of faults?
These A3s, when we first started, we got a lot of call-outs. That was due to, well, one, it was us being new to it. We weren't sort of picking up on those sounds that are telltale signs that something's going to go wrong, or we weren't checking the strings and the hoses like we should have. The other thing was we had a brand new herd that got milked in the morning over at Simpson and then got freighted over to here, and we had to put collars on them, singe udders, put them in the computer and then put them through the milking machine straight off a truck. So we had cows that weren't trained at all for this farm. They didn't know any of the laneways. So they used to get stressed out, kick the crap out of the robots, so we'd have to repair things. But after they all got trained, you'd bring in a new cow, they'd have cows to follow, and they wouldn't kick the robots so much, so they wouldn't break things, so you wouldn't get the call out. These A3s probably give us, which is the older Lely robot, they probably give us more call outs than what the new A4s would, because they actually have fixed a lot of the problems we have with the A3s on the new model. And I think give us 5 years, we'll probably upgrade to the A4s. The call-outs at night are few and far between. You get the odd one, and it's usually an issue that you can fix and you're right. But it's still better than getting up at 4 in the morning and still milk cows at 7 at night. So it's a trade-off.
The technology's been around for about 20 years, and it's been over 10 years since it's arrived in Australia. You said that you've had it for about 7 years. But why do you think that it hasn't been adopted more widely across Australia?
Over in Europe, they're mainly in barns, so your cow flow is really good. You know, we're doing anywhere from 2.1 to 2.4 milkings, but in a barn, they'll average their sort of 2.8 to 3 milkings. So cow control is really good. You know, the cows aren't really stressed out, I suppose. But over here, you've got to get your cow traffic out of the paddock. It's a lot harder. And then also you've got people with, 1,000 cow herds that, you know, they're going to have to put in a lot of robots to move that many cows. But in saying that, if they drop their 20 staff off for milking those 1,000 cows, you could actually milk less cows with robots and be more profitable. You know, that was the other thing to look at. I had a dairy farmer come and look at ours, and she said, "Oh, well, what if you want to push more cows?" And I said, "Well, why do I want to push more cows? Not paying for the labour. I don't have to flog my paddock so much. I don't need to. It's just more hassle to milk more cows. I'm still making the same amount of profit."
Bill Crosby from Connemara in South Australia, thanks for talking to us today about your automated milking system.
No worries.
For this podcast and many more podcasts, fact sheets and videos, I encourage you to visit the dairy section within the New South Wales Department of Primary Industries website.